Ramsey Solutions, broadcasting from the Pods Moving and Storage Studios. It's the Ramsey Show, where debt is dumb, cash is king, and the paid-off home mortgage has taken the place of the BMW as the status symbol of choice. I'm Dave Ramsey, your host. We help people build wealth, do work that they love, and create actual amazing relationships, in spite of having to spend time with your family over Thanksgiving. Open phones at 888-825-5225. Dr. John Deloney, Ramsey personality, host of the Dr. John Deloney Show, number one best-selling author of Own Your Past, Change Your Future, is my co-host today. We're going to answer your questions. You jump in. The phone number is 888-825-5225. Benjamin is in Atlanta. Hi, Benjamin. How are you?
Good. How are you, Dave?
Better than I deserve. What's up?
So I'm trying to figure out how much of my salary I want to contribute to my retirement plan. I'm currently contributing the recommended 15% to a 401k plan, but I'm now working for a company that gives a 200% match up to 4%. So that's 8% of my salary that they're putting into my 401k. And on top of that, at the end of the year, they contribute another 10% to my 401k as profit sharing.
So that's what they put in does 18. Not count in our equation.
What? Okay.
So what you put in.
18%.
You would put in 15% of your household income into retirement at baby step four.
Correct.
Did I catch you? Is that what you were calculating the company in there?
No, I am putting 15% in, and my company's putting 18% in. So that's a total of 33%.
That's pretty phenomenal.
You're going to be rich.
That's going into my. Yeah, it is pretty fantastic. So my question was, since the match is so high on top of my 15%, can I afford to only contribute 10% of my salary to a 401k and put that extra 5% toward saving up for a house and later paying a monthly payment on a house?
Okay, so you're trying to figure out a house down payment, not paying off a house.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, so I've not purchased a house yet. I'm saving
baby,
up a down
baby
payment.
Step 3B is saving for the down payment. That's what we call it, before you get to baby step 4, which is 15% of your income going into retirement. Now, here's what people do, and it's okay with us, because baby step 3B is a temporary thing. It's just while you save a down payment. That's all you're doing. Okay. And okay. While you're doing that, some people don't even start baby step 4. They do 0. Some people do up to the match, and some people do the full 15%. And how fast can you save the down payment? That's the trick, right? So anywhere in there you want to go, and it sounds like, you know, if you want to back it down to 10, that's fine. But that is not me saying you live in a house, you own a house, and you should back down to 10% so you can put more on your house mortgage in baby step 6. No, I am not saying that. That's for all the other listeners. That's not for you.
Gotcha.
Okay, but in your case, you know, whether you got a match or whether you didn't, some people just choose to do nothing. Some people choose to match the 3%, and some want to go ahead and do the 15 and just try to save the down payment above that.
Right.
You could do any of those is fine, because you shouldn't be saving for your down payment longer than 3 years max.
Okay.
How old are you?
I'm 24.
Wow. What's your income?
$68,000.
Dude, if you stick with us, you're going to be so rich. John's right.
And I'll also say this, Benjamin, at 24, I've had a couple of different places where I've worked where they've had incredible matches like this, and at least in my, after a couple of decades in the workforce, every time it has shifted, that overwhelming we're able to put this much money, it tends to be kind of a bonus, is the way that people will look at it. So we're not going to add to your salary because that's ongoing, but we're going to do this every year. That has whittled away in every job where I've had that type of generosity. And so don't build your life expecting that to happen year over year over year.
Yeah, build your life. Build your life expecting you to have to do it. And anything your company does is called gravy on the biscuit.
Yeah.
If you set that up emotionally, John's right, then you're going to keep going because you're not like, oh, well, I can't do it now because I don't get the match. No.
I felt like as a young guy, I thought they were taking something from me. right? Like it was, hey, we're able to do this, we're able to do this, and then 2010 hit, 2009 hit, and we got to back down some of our retirement match. Well, it felt like you were taking something from me, right? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it wasn't. It was a cool thing they were able to do during times of plenty.
It was generosity.
That's
and,
right.
And then it couldn't, yeah.
That's right. But I had built my life as though you owed it to me, and that was on me, not on them.
Yeah. But that's also the way you, has to do with the narrative and the way you explain it.
That's right.
So, yeah, that's good. Good question. Benjamin, you're doing great, man.
Excellent.
Proud of you. Way to go, dude. Angela is in Los Angeles. Hi, Angela. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hi, Dave. Hi, John. I'm very happy to be on.
Good to have you. How can we help?
Thanks. I just had a quick question or advice. I need your advice. So I found you guys back in May, and I would binge watch for months. I binge watched. And finally, I decided to call for motivation because I was unhappy at my job. And I called George, and he kind of told me, you know, get another job. And I did. So I put my resume out, and I got a call from a local government job, and they paid me about $20,000 more than what I had already, than what I was already making.
Dadgum, George is worth his weight in gold.
And he's a small guy. That's not a lot of weight, but man, good for him.
Yeah, he gave me the motivation I needed to, you know, get out there. But now I just can't seem to get back on track to the baby steps, and I'm struggling. And when I tell you, I'm tired. I'm tired of not having enough money, or at the end of the month, I'm exhausted. And it's harder now.
So you make more money and you're doing a worse job handling it.
Yes, exactly.
Well, George, it's all George's fault.
So what's your challenge? Like, you're making this new money.
Why did you get lazy then? I would have got more intense.
I feel like I don't know. A lot of changes at work in those few months that I started. And I feel like every time I get anxious now, I spend.
Hmm. So.
Yeah, and now I have more money to spend and it's harder. Sorry.
You're doing a lot of feeling. And mm-hmm. here's why the baby steps are so remarkable. They take your feelings and your thoughts out of the equation.
Yeah, they take your feelings and they stomp on your feelings.
You just do what's the plan. You follow the plan. Like, I don't feel like working out. It doesn't matter. Here's the workout you're doing today. I feel like spending. I feel like getting online. Who cares? Here's what's next in line. And so getting on a plan is really good for this. And you've got to adjust your identity. You're somebody who makes good money now, who does really well. You are not somebody who spends when they get anxious. And I want you to start there and reverse engineer that life.
Okay. So,
does that make sense?
Yeah, stop saying that's who you are, because it's really not who you are.
It's not who you are.
Yeah. Who you are is a lady who makes $20,000 more than she used to because of George.
That's right.
And then who you are is a lady that's not managing it as well. Oh, wait, no, you're the lady that's starting to manage it better as of today because of John.
You're going
to
get on a plan.
So there you go.
You're going to get on a plan.
Yeah. Absolutely. One of my buddies who's a multimillionaire said, you know, your stuff started working when I submitted myself to the plan. Ooh, it's a powerful word. It's a powerful word. It means the plan is going to kick your butt. This is The Ramsey Show. Hey folks, Dave Ramsey here. There are moments in life we don't want to forget, like your kid's graduation or the once-in-a-lifetime trip. For the big moments, the everyday moments, and everything in between, every dollar is there to help you budget for all of it. It's the simple budgeting app that helps you plan, save, and spend for the important things. Budget for the life you really want, every moment of it. Download the app or check the link in the show notes to create your free account today. Every dollar. Dr. John Deloney, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today, number one best-selling author. Well, Black Friday might be over, but you've still got plenty of names on your Christmas list, right? Well, then check out all the deals in our one-day Cyber Monday sale. You can get our best sellers for as low as $5. If you're ready to crush your goals, see, there it is, John. Crush your goals next year. The 2023 Ramsey goal crusher planner. Goal planner will help you keep focused, get organized, and crushing. The new 2023 planner has Ramsey's five essential guidelines for goal setting, so you can create specific and measurable goals for your finances, relationships, spiritual growth. First time ever, it's on sale. Get yours before they're gone. Of course, this is set up. It's a full calendar. It's a beautiful book to you, guide you through the whole year. And for your holiday get-together, get your friends and family off their screens with Dr. John Deloney's Questions for Humans conversation cards. They have the New Year's deck. The Christmas deck sold out, by the way. These fun conversation starters make connecting with each other easy. Get everyone talking with questions like this one. If we had to buy a plane ticket right now for a trip together next year, where would we go? Home. This is a season to share hope and give generously. We all know that someone who's struggling today with their money, their relationships, we've got tons of deals on every single bestseller that we've had, everything at RamseySolutions.com. Shop the Cyber Monday one-day sale today, RamseySolutions.com.
Hey, I got one of these cards I want to do with you.
The questions for humans,
yes.
You're presupposing I'm human. Okay, that's a good start.
No, you can use this with robots too.
Okay,
it's very good. What two words would you use to sum up this year, and you can't say dumpster fire?
Oh, why not? Oh no, it wasn't a dumpster fire. Sweet and sour.
Sweet and sour. How so?
I got lots of sweetness, lots of good things happened, and lots of sour things happened.
Lots of tough stuff.
Yeah.
Huh.
Except that's three words, Joe Biden, but yeah.
Hey, that is incredible. I got two words for you. Made in America. That was fantastic. Fantastic. I love it. No matter what happens, you're always that one family member that can take any innocuous question and bring it back to politics. And that is
that
Dave Ramsey. That's Dave.
Well, I used three words, then I just sit here and you didn't catch it.
No, I know. So I got you. What's one thing you've become obsessed with this year?
This year.
Just this particular year?
More than other years, building projects. I've got about three things or four things coming out of the ground right now. And I keep driving around looking at all of them being built. It's a lot of fun.
Do you like that?
Oh, man. I'm like a little kid with a dump truck. Yeah.
As soon as they hand you the keys and they do the cutting, are you already thinking about what's
next? I'm done. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was done before that. But, yeah. I mean, when it's done, it's done. But I love the planning and the coming out of the ground. And, you know, we've got the new Ramsey Event Center. And I'm building a huge event barn on my farm and a couple of other little building projects. And that's just fun. What about you? What are you obsessed with?
Oh, man, I was just thinking about what I got obsessed with this year. This was the first year that things kind of settled in here at work, and because it was a whole new craft for me, learning something completely new, like how radio works and interviews work and podcasts work. So this year was the first year I really got intent on trying to learn how to do the craft, not just survive, right? Mm-hmm. So the way I describe it to my friends over Thanksgiving was when you're skiing and you first are learning and you're coming, when the boat takes off and you're just getting blasted with water, and then there's a moment you get on top of it and you're just excited to be on top of the water, but you're holding on tight. And this year was the first year I got comfortable on top of the water. Now we can figure out how to do this thing. So
Other metaphor I love with that is, you know, the first year I went snow skiing and I wasn't sore.
Oh, man. Yeah, I like that. That's fantastic.
Because I wasn't using every muscle in my body to stand up.
Snow skiing. That's one thing other than golf I don't understand, but that's a different
subject. I thought you were going to say deer hunting with your son.
He's old enough now. He's 12.
Yeah, it's like a thing now.
I mean,
there's deer hunting, and then there's deer hunting with your son.
Yes, and then we spent 8 hours in the woods yesterday, and then 8 hours the day before, nothing. And to see a 12-year-old boy knows, even I was like back there looking at my phone, just to sit for 8 hours. I thought me and his mom are doing something right, and he just was patient. And then we got in the car, and he's disappointed. He's like, "We'll get him next time, Dad." And so it teaches you these lessons of patience and of all these cool moments that you get to spend with your son. So it's been great.
That's cool. Yeah, not a chance I could do that.
Oh man,
I would be a nervous wreck.
It was pretty
eight
tough.
8 hours and sit there.
Just sit there. Just wait.
Shoot myself.
Just waiting. Hey. here's pretty neat. When it's 6 hours and all of a sudden a deer comes up and it's the wrong size or it's too far away.
Yeah, that's not neat at all.
And watch a 12 year old.
It's like people who go fishing and don't catch fish.
Have patience. No, it's so good.
I go catching. I don't go fishing.
Building character.
It's not character. It's
perseverance, like, and all that stuff.
Wrong weapons.
Courage.
Wrong weapons.
It's a mile away. I'll get him.
Get the 50 cal. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you don't want to do that, Dave.
I know.
Don't do that.
I know. Get the hate mail. Get it going, people. Get it going. Come on. Yeah, we're just talking about shooting Bambi, so there you go. It's all over now. The PETA people can line up. Oh, all right, there we go. That's questions for human cards, questions, right there.
See, look at that.
Creates controversy and politics.
Always.
You're just
going
to love these cards, people. They're going to be endearing.
There's
to your
ones
whole
for
life.
Dating, for friends, for family get-togethers, for kids, schools. If you're a teacher,
want to create hate mail and trolls.
I do. I have proposed that one. I want to have one that end like a friendship ender. That's just. Trump is the smartest man alive, true or false. I just want to, like, we're going to put those things out on the table. We're going to divide friendships up so good. Lots of shaming questions. They'll be fantastic.
COVID mask questions. Yeah.
Yes.
Lots of COVID mask questions.
And, COVID mask saved America, true or false. They're going to be fantastic.
Vaccination, 1, 2, 3, 4, booster.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to find out, hey, you know what? We weren't going to make it as a friend group, so we're going to call it now. Or if you really wanted to break up with somebody.
I don't really fit in.
These are the cards for you. These are the cards for you.
You could have the most obnoxious questions. That would be, yeah. We really can't do that because it would probably cause trouble. And we're here to bring hope and joy and peace. And
yeah, but sometimes hope and joy and peace comes with
separation from
truth.
Crazy people.
That's right. Boundaries. And I
all
just
right, now people don't even know what this is. Okay, these are cards. It looks like a deck of cards.
That's right.
And they've got conversation starters, and none of them are snarky or sarcastic or political.
No,
or
there's no politics. There's no COVID. Nothing.
There's no COVIDs in them. We put no COVIDs in these at all. You can't get COVID from it, and you can't talk about COVID because of it, okay? As a matter of fact, it keeps your crazy butt relatives who talked about it all through Thanksgiving dinner from dealing with it. You have to, no, we can't talk about that. We have to talk about this, and you throw a card down.
That's right.
And then you can say, what's something you're obsessed with this year? And you can't say COVID.
And I will say this. My daughter, Josephine, I left a deck of the parents' kids. She brings it to dinner every night. She wants to get the cards. And we've even answered some of the same ones again. She wants to do it again. And I think her body is telling her, hey, this is a way mom and dad plug in directly with me. Like, this is a way we're all at the table together, despite our best efforts. And so
we played Monopoly.
They're great for kids. Oh, see, I get too competitive with Monopoly. I get too competitive.
Oh, the one that kills me is the Game of Life. Because it's not. And it's also got credit cards in it now. You can get a credit card with the Game of Life.
So the Game of Life. How do you tell people that you were born in the 14th century
thing,
without telling them?
Yeah.
You mentioned the Game of Life.
Yeah, that's it.
When did that game come out?
Oh, God, man. It had to be the 60s or 70s. I mean, I had it when I was a kid.
I know, I'm just kidding.
So back when there was dinosaurs roaming there. So, little short arms. And the
on
whole
the back
bit.
Of the covered wagon, yeah. You would play Life.
Yeah. Yeah, on the back of the covered wagon.
Very cool.
When we were going across the prairie.
Man, this may have been the greatest sales pitch segment of our careers.
Yeah,
dude.
I'm saying that Black Friday can't top Cyber Monday after that. If nothing else, we've sold out of all the questions for human cards ever made at
go
this point.
Go save your families and go get them.
Yeah.
Go get them.
It is a lot of fun. It's almost as much fun as John and I have just babbling about nothing and blowing an entire segment. This is The Ramsey Show. Guys, it's no secret that the real estate market is weird right now, so go with a mortgage company you can trust to have your back. Churchill Mortgage. Churchill is Ramsey trusted because they're stable, reliable, and focused on you. At a time when a lot of companies are being bought out or going out of business, count on Churchill Mortgage to stick around. They've been doing things the right way for over 30 years, and they'll keep doing them the right way for 30 more. Get started at churchillmortgage.com.
This is a paid advertisement. NMLS ID 1591, NMLS consumeraccess.org, Equal Housing Lender, 1749 Mallory Lane, Suite 100, Brentwood, Tennessee, 37027.
Dr. John Deloney, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Open phones at 888-825-5225. This is the Ramsey Show. Christine is with us in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hi, Christine. How are you?
Great. How are you doing?
Better than I deserve. What's up?
Thank you so much for taking my call. So my husband and I are new listeners of yours, and we're on baby steps 4, 5, and 6. We have no debt except for our mortgage.
Good.
But we're concerned that our mortgage is a bit high. It doesn't quite follow your ratios. So I just wanted to talk that through with you and see if we should just keep going on or make a change.
Okay. In this case, our ratios don't matter as much in the case of a mortgage payment as a percentage of your income as why we have the ratios. Now that matters a lot. Okay. The why is simply, if you use up all your money on your house payment, you don't have any money. It's called house poor. Right. Mm-hmm. And that will cause you with, if you're living with a super high house payment, even though you're already out of debt and you're baby step 4, 5, and 6, it'll keep you from investing long-term, keep you from your generosity goals. And it, in some cases, if it's super high, people feel forced to take a car payment because they don't save up for a car because they don't have any room to save up for a car or something like that. So that's the reason we tell people to not get a super high house payment like most of the culture tells you to do. Once you kind of understand that, then you can kind of back into your particulars and say, you know, okay, what are we violating on the 25% of your take-home pay on a 15-year fixed? And how is that going to be okay, given that we don't want to be house poor? So, how much is your house payment?
$3,900.
Say again?
$3,900.
And your monthly take-home pay is?
$11,000.
Okay, so you're about 34%.
Right.
Okay. And what do you guys do for a living?
My husband is in supply chain.
Is what?
And I say he's in supply chain, and I stay home with our kids.
Supply chain.
Oh God, I can't hear. Mm-hmm. Okay. Supply chain. All right. And he's killing it. So how many raises is he? No, because the last 2 years don't count. What do you guys feel like the trajectory of his income is? Is it going to go up substantially in the next 3 years?
I think so.
Which makes this conversation not needed, moot, right?
Okay, yeah.
Because, I mean, if it goes from 33% to 28% to 25% with 3 raises, because your house payment stays the same and your income goes up, then we're not worried about you being house poor long term, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, so that's one fix for this.
But if he had 2 wild years based on supply chain backup and he crushed it and he's going to settle back into $9,000 a month, now you got a problem.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you looking at on his income, do you think?
I think it'll go up. I don't think it'll go down.
If it goes down, you need to reevaluate this house.
Okay.
If it goes, as long as it is has an upward trajectory in the next 36 to 48 months, you're not going to be stuck there with all your money going to a house payment and not being able to fund your kid's college fund.
Or having an air conditioner break and you got to go to a credit union to be able to pay for it, right?
Right. Well, although we do have an emergency fund.
That's right.
Yeah. So just don't get yourself to where you're there. That's the whole point of the thing, you see? So you don't need Ramsey to tell you how to manage your life. But a good rule, period, whether Ramsey's in your discussion or not, is don't be house poor. Don't have a house payment that takes up all your money.
Right.
Makes you broke. And so, but I think you sound like you're okay. It's not ideal. If you were getting ready to buy a home, I would tell you to back off. Don't be so house, but you're there. I wouldn't tell you to move over this. You're not trapped and hopelessly mathematically disabled, you know. So I wouldn't tell you to do that. But you don't have any room. It's got to go up. It can't go back. And you don't have any wiggle room, because if it goes down much and stays down very long, you're going to be forced into a different property. But right now, I think you got a lot of house. And in Cheyenne, Wyoming, that's a big freaking house. That's a big dog right there. Well done. Good for you. I bet it's fun. Michael's with us. Michael is in West Virginia, Huntington, to be exact. Hey, Michael, what's up?
Not much, Dave. How are you?
Better than we deserve. How can we help?
That's right. Hey, real quick, before my question, I just wanted to tell you, I've been a disciple of yours since 2006. Someone bought me the Total Money Makeover, and I followed it ever since. And about 10 years ago, I met my wonderful, beautiful wife, and I was very pleased to find out she's a disciple of yours as well. The only problem is she hadn't really heard of you. She had been following your ideas.
She was a follower of common sense.
Common sense, the Bible, and your grandparents, as you say often.
That's it.
So,
cool.
I just wanted to tell you that, because it was a match made in heaven, the two of us, and we've followed your plan, and we still follow the principles. But
thank you.
You'll laugh when I preface this, but this is a Thanksgiving weekend discussion kind of question that I'm going to pose to you and Dr. John. So I had a grandmother pass away about 10 years ago, and for the most part, her estate has been essentially distributed, and everything was fine there. We found out kind of recently that one of the things that has not been dealt with was a diamond ring that was given to her by her father-in-law. It's not an engagement ring. It was just a diamond ring that she's held in her possession. Her verbal wishes as she was, getting up in years, was that the ring was to be sold and the proceeds from that were to be divided evenly among the families. She has three daughters. We all get along well. Everyone loves each other. Everything is happy. And no one's really in any dire financial straits. No one really needs the money. But the issue is now, what do we do with the ring? And as I was talking with some family over the weekend, one of the suggestions was to go ahead and sell it. We understand that it appraised for about $18,000. Don't know that it'll sell for that. Let's be conservative and say that it'll sell for $10,000. There are family members that may want the ring, but that kind of goes against what our grandmother's wishes were to do with the ring as she passed away. And then kind of a third option, which we're not sure if this would even work, would be to actually cut up the ring. And we're told that could be a very risky proposition, and you don't know what you're going to get from the ring. So in any event, I just wanted to hear your thoughts. I know you've talked a lot about what people, their wishes, and as they're passing on, and I just wanted to hear kind of your idea or your thoughts on what would be a good idea.
You know, in these things, I try to just switch moccasins and walk in your grandmother's shoes a minute and go, if it was me, what would I care? You know? So this is not a sentimental thing. It was not her wedding ring. It was not something like that. It was simply a piece of jewelry that's valuable, that she owned.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
All it was. Yes, so there's not a lot of emotion to it. I don't think it's from what you described to me, it doesn't sound inconsistent. If you guys had it appraised and, one sister wanted it and the other two bought her out for the other two thirds, or even for a discounted amount. Let's say we got it appraised. I think we can actually sell it for 15. But hey, the other two sisters will take 4 instead of 5 each and that kind of thing, and just buy each other out and let one of them that wants it have it. I don't think that's inconsistent.
And you put some extra stipulations on what your grandma said. She didn't say, if anybody is in dire need of cash, sell this thing. She said, sell it, and y'all split it. So just because y'all aren't starving or broke or in desperate need of money right now doesn't mean that we're not going to do what she said, right?
Sure, exactly. And Dave, what you suggested sounds great, but it just feels kind of slimy to us. But we think that may be the best solution.
I don't think it's slimy at all. I don't hear any slime in it at all. If everybody's in agreement to it, Now, if it creates an argument, then there might be some slime there. But if Sister A wants it and B and C want to be bought out at a slight discount below what it'll actually bring, I think that's a generous thing for everyone.
What's slimy is if Sister A wants it and thinks, well, she's going to get it for free.
Yeah.
That's taking advantage of Grandma.
Yeah, and then the other two get nothing. Yeah, that would be a little weird. But yeah, just buy them out. That's it's not an unusual thing in estates, by the way. This is The Ramsey Show. John Deloney, host of the Dr. John Deloney Show, number one best-selling author, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Our question of the day comes from Blinds.com. They have a 100% satisfaction guarantee. That means even if you mismeasure, you mess up, you pick the wrong color, you mess up, like I have, they'll remake your window blinds for free. It's a you-screwed-up guarantee. Yeah, you get free samples, free shipping, and new promos all the time. You'll save even more. Always use the promo code Ramsey. It's magic. You'll get a better deal.
All right, today's question comes from Melissa in Wisconsin. She says, I've been following the baby steps, and I'm very proud of how I've grown financially and personally. I have no debt, and I'm saving for retirement. During college, the relationship with one of my parents became very strained, and that parent took out a $20,000 Sallie Mae student loan without consulting other family members. This parent is the only person on the loan, and my name is not on it. I know legally I'm not obligated to pay it back, but morally, what are your opinions on me paying it back to this parent? We've been estranged for years due to other circumstances, and I used the money in college for books and room and board. I've tried to consult other close Christian friends and my counselor who did not think I am obligated to pay it back since this person has made very poor financial decisions, multiple bankruptcies, and has not respected boundaries with me. What are your thoughts?
I'll start.
You start.
You're stuttering.
Yes.
Okay. You're stammering.
I've got a strong
feeling.
You have
a lot
this.
Of thoughts.
I do.
Okay, let me. There's a lot of different words we can use here. I would agree with your counselor that you are not obligated to pay it back, morally or ethically. But it has nothing to do with the other person's behavior. It has everything to do with the deal that was made. They took out a loan without your knowledge and without you promising to pay it. Therefore, you do not owe it. You did not handshake. You did not verbally. You did not, certainly not on paper, and certainly legally did not sign for it. So you're not legally, ethically, or morally obligated to pay this loan, period. It has nothing to do with being estranged. It has nothing to do with, it makes it weirder. It has nothing to do with the other person's financial misbehavior and bankruptcies. That makes it weirder, but none of that is your fault. And does not change your moral obligation one way or the other. Your moral obligation is based on your promise that was never made by you. And so you don't have a moral, ethical, or legal obligation. Now, if you want to be generous for some reason or another, then we can talk about it. But it's not an obligation.
I like that you said that. Here's where I was struggling with this. Let's say you did, Melissa, let's say you did take this money out and you shook hands. Hey, Mom, I need some more money for room and board, and books have gotten more expensive. And your mom said, great, I'm going to take out this loan, this Parent Plus loan, and you can just pay it back even though you don't qualify to take out your own loan. Great.
Then you would pay it.
And she ends up making very poor financial decisions, has multiple bankruptcies.
Doesn't matter.
Respect
you'd pay it anyway.
Doesn't matter. That's right. So this external behavior is not, I'm not going to let that affect my moral cause here. Right. I'm with you, Dave. The reason I took pause here is I'm thinking in my situation, if I have a parent who's struggling, they got me through college. I'm just torn on it. I'm just torn on it. I would probably try to figure out a way to pay it back.
It would just be generosity, though.
Right.
It's not an obligation.
That's right.
And in my mind, too, it would be how does it affect your particular life? Okay, you have $2 million in checking. Well, write a check and pay it off.
Write the check.
It's like buying a biscuit.
Right.
Okay? You have no money, and you're just now coming out of baby step three, just starting. You're 26 years old.
And your mom's guilt-tripping
you. You make $75,000 a year, And you know, her voice in your head that you haven't even heard in a long time in person is guilt tripping you. Then no, that's just psychological backflips.
There you go.
You're just doing gymnastics in your own brain. Yep. There, like somehow it's going to make her okay. Somehow it's going to make your relationship okay. That you wave this magic money wand over it and everything's going to be okay. Nope,
right.
Not going to happen. And so this does come down to two things. Number one is, are you obligated? The answer is no. Number two, do you want to be generous? And for me, if I were in your shoes, that would be that it's not a big deal.
That you can.
That $20,000, you're a doc and you make $400,000 a year now. I don't know. Whatever scenario. We don't have her income or her net worth here. You know, I kind of smell in the verbiage that this is a 26-year-old making less than $100,000 a year and doesn't have any money.
Well, and to add on to that, this feels like, and Dave, we don't talk about this enough. We probably should. The number of parents who mortgage their souls for the kids to go to school and they circle back 10, 15 years later asking kids, "Where's my? I need that money." Or hey,
without having a deal.
We never had a deal. I got you through college. Now I'm looking at my retirement. Hey, I put $20,000 on the line. When are you going to pay me back?
And well, that's the same idiot, though, that
it's common, man.
That says you owe me because I changed your diaper.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's the same. You know, I fed you when you were three. Shut up. You signed up for that.
That's right.
You know, that's just bull right there. So, sorry, Mom, that's how this works.
Yeah.
You know, but the, yeah. So, lot of stuff going on here, but I think, I don't want to be the psychologist here. That's your job. But in my mind, it sounds like, you probably intellectually realize, but some part of your little girl self, Melissa, wants it to be that the script is rewritten if you write a $20,000 check that suddenly Mom's okay and your relationship with Mom's okay.
And that's not going to happen.
And it's not ever going to be the same.
That's right.
That house burned.
Yes. And now you got to build something new. And if part of you building something new is, I'm going to go back to everybody who played a role in my life and I'm going to be generous to them, that's cool. That could be a part of your house that you're building for you into the future.
Exactly.
It's not going to save Mom.
It's not got anything to do
it's
with
not save
them.
Mom. That's right.
This has got to do with you.
That's right.
Yeah. But it's not a moral, ethical, Christian obligation that you pay someone else's debt.
That's right.
It's that simple, and that's what a Parent Plus loan is. And then I think it is good. One more time, let's circle back for the sake of people listening, because we have a student loan crisis that is of epic proportions. Moms and dads, do not take out student loans of any kind, and do not take out a Parent Plus loan and then saddle your kid with it when they're 30 suddenly at Thanksgiving dinner. Okay? That's relationship Russian roulette, number one. Number two, it's morally, ethically wrong. Number three, it's financially stupid. Okay, don't do that. And so, you know, this idea that you know, send the kid to college at any cost, including the cost of all our futures, mine and yours. We're going to all go deeply in debt so you can get a degree in left-handed puppetry.
And so it will.
This has got to stop.
It will work out for me down the road. Like I'm cashing out some of my retirement so that you can make it all okay for all of us.
Yeah, you can take care of me because you'll be the one that gets an NFL contract.
It just doesn't work that way.
No,
yeah.
It doesn't work that
it's
way.
Tough,
you can
tough,
buy
tough,
mom
tough.
A house later. No, that's not how it works, darling.
Yeah, that can get real, real tough. Kevin Hart has a great bit about that, it's very serious about he got his first royalty check for, I think it was $250,000. And he said in his head it was, oh, fantastic. Now I can get mom a car. I can get mom a house. I can get brother a house. I can go ahead and get myself taken. And then after the management took their cut, and after the agent took their cut, and after Uncle
IRS.
Sam took their cut, it was not nearly the amount of money, right? And so we get to counting and playing Monopoly in our head with this imaginary stuff that's going to come down the road, and it just doesn't work out that way.
This families get confused. I was with a friend of mine this weekend that's one of his parents passed away, and he's trying to protect the mom because he said now that dad's gone, all these people, and he named the ethnicity, okay, will be coming around mom, and we've got to protect mom from these people, you know, and it's family within that particular culture, and he said, I got to protect mom from that, and because they're going to come.
Gotcha.
They, you know, dad's gone, they're going to smell, there's money, and it must
family's
be there.
Coming. That's right.
The sharks are circling, you know. Yeah, the money, it must be there because the old man's gone. Now we can get the old lady. She's a soft touch. We can get the money out of her.
Yikes.
Yeah. Woo. Wow. That's a thing, man. It's a thing. You people and your families.
Mine's perfect, Dave.
Hey, you know the saying around Ramsey, if you think there's not crazy in your family, then it's you. This is the Ramsey Show.
Hey, it's John Deloney, co-host of The Ramsey Show. Did you know over 18 million people listen to The Ramsey Show every week? A lot of those people listen on one of our 600-plus radio stations across the country. To find a station near you, go to RamseySolutions.com/show.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.